Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from this week's special guest.
Open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Today I'm going to speak on the subject of fear. You can call it whatever you want. I'll call it fear not. We could call it stand and see the salvation of the Lord. But what we need to learn today is we need to learn how to get this word inside of us and make it applicable to our lives. Just like Brother Tim said, this word is applicable. These stories are applicable. These stories are to be inserted into our being, to our innermost being, to the core of our being, so that we can use those stories in time of need. Because no matter what is coming against you in life, whether it's unjust laws that are coming against you, or whether it's, you know, a failed marriage and custody battles that are coming against you, whether it's your boss that's coming against you, whether you're getting legal counsel from an attorney that you're dealing with, nothing trumps the Word of God. You can get all the counsel in the world, but the counsel of the Word of God prevails. What's in this Bible prevails. And so many times we get caught in trusting someone else because we want to put our security in them. And that's where I'm going to take you today, in this word and in our story. But I want to start out with what happened with young David as the Philistine army had gathered in the valley of Succoth and began to try to attack the Israelites and take them out. So actually, I'm going to go in verse 17. Chapter 17. The Bible reads, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Succoth and Azekah, and Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in the line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them." So here's the armies of the Philistines, here's the armies of Israel, and this great valley of Succoth in between them, and Israel doesn't want to fight. But they're facing the Philistines, and they are scared to death. And here's why. "And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of that coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze." This was a huge human being. "And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron." Huge weapons. Most kids couldn't even pick up that weapon. "And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel.'" This is the devil. This is how the devil talks. "I defy the ranks of Israel. On this day, give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So when the devil speaks, you have two choices in life. You have a choice to push back and speak the name of the Lord, or you have a choice to let fear grip you and be dismayed. And there begins the process of being paralyzed. Paralyzed in fear, not knowing what to do, which leads to anxiety, stress, worry, confusion, discombobulation, as Sherlock Holmes would say, fragmentation, all kinds of things start happening in your life. And then you can't move. And then what comes? Slumber comes. Laziness comes. Procrastination comes. And every foul thing that the enemy wants to bring to our life. And it started with one thing. It started with fear. It started with the enemy speaking something to you that wasn't true. It started with the enemy speaking a railing accusation at you or threatening you. And you know, threatening your child, threatening your ex-husband, threaten you and threaten to take your kids, or your ex-wife is gone insane and threatening to take your kids, or the boss is threatening you, your company's threatening you, or your coach, if you're a student, your coach is like being mean to you, your coach is saying negative things to you, and he's an idiot, and he doesn't know that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it eat the fruit thereof. He doesn't know that by our words we're justified and by our words we're condemned, and he's condemning you with his words, and you're receiving it because it is he's Goliath of Gath saying it to you. And there's a point in time where we got to learn how to get in this word and let the story be finished. And realize that David set the tone. David set the pace. He didn't have another story to lean on. He didn't have a Bible to lean on. He had a devotion to God. And his devotion to God allowed him to be faithful. His devotion to God allowed him to stand in the presence of his enemy. Just like we sang the song, he stood and saw what the Lord would do, that on this day he would turn it around, that he would see a victory. And so what happens here? You know, Saul and the whole camp are afraid. And Goliath keeps coming back day by day, and they're mocking him. Who's going to come? Come on, who are you going to send? What are you going to do about this? We're about to crush you. And that's what the enemy wants to do to your life on every level. When you face fears of any kind, in any matter, it's fear. Most things in life start, negative things in life start with fear. Fear becomes the catalyst of every other thing that starts. The vicious cycle of defeat and despair, anxiety, worry, stress, and bad things happening in our life. And our life unravels because of one specific root, fear. So here's what David does. You know, David is sent by his dad, Jesse, to go take his brothers. He has three brothers in the army. And David, he pulls him out from tending sheep, says, hey, go take your brothers this food, these provisions. So David goes into the camp, and you know, his brothers already know he's been anointed king, but they still don't respect him like that. But here's David. He meanders into the camp after Goliath is mocking everybody. After Goliath comes out again and says, who's going to come? Come on, who's going to fight me? Here's what happens in verse 24. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. So they're paralyzed. It's over. We're going to get killed here. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and he will give him his daughter, and he will make his father's house free in Israel. Now there's another great sermon on that one verse alone. And David said to the men who stood by him, okay, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? What was that again? Oh, I get riches? I get his beautiful daughter? I'll take that one. Oh, and my dad is going to be tax-free for the rest of his life? Where's this Goliath dude? Where's he at? Where's he at? I already see a great reward. I see a great victory already. And so this is David. So that's a whole nother sermon. But I just wanted to give you that little nugget to chew on. Because there's reward in God's economy as well. And the people answered him in the same way, so shall it be done to this man who kills him. So here's David. He goes to Saul, presents himself to Saul. Y'all know the story. Saul wants him to put on his armor, and he tries that, and that doesn't work. And he gets his slingshot. He says, I can't do this. But he takes his slingshot, and he's going to go after Saul. And here's what happens. In verse 45, David goes down to see the Philistine. So I'm skipping some of it for the sake of time today so you can read the story. I encourage you to read the whole story and let it get in you. Because when we have sermons on Sunday and when we preach, it's not just to give you everything. It's for you to go back and chew on stuff and search the scriptures and read and put it all together. So read the entire chapter of 17. But down at verse 45, here's where David says, I'm going to go get him, Saul. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. Now, you know what? Let me back up. I'm going to tell you what the devil said to him in verse 41. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with a shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. He disdained him. That's what the devil does. He disdains you. He mocks you. He says things to continue to try to grip you with fear. It's just, they're lies. They're deceptive tactics to keep you gripped, to keep your mind discombobulated, thinking that you're actually going to lose. So he's doing it mentally. Everything, 95% of every battle in your life is mental. It's in the battlefield of the mind. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, which were dead and didn't mean anything. And you got to realize, the devil and his demon forces, they're all false gods and they got no power. So who cares if they curse us? Who cares if they're threatening us? Who cares what they're saying? Who cares what they say can't happen to you in your marriage? Who says that you can't have your kids back? That you can't, this is not going to happen. That adoption won't go through. This, you won't be healed. This won't happen. That won't happen. Here's the report from the doctor. You know, just the list goes on and on and on. Your boss says, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have to make some cuts. Well, if you get fired and you're a Christian, let me just tell you one thing, baby. Anybody ever been fired in here? Let go? You got promoted. You got promoted. There ain't no Christian I know that gets fired that doesn't get promoted. God was setting you up for something better, but we're seized and paralyzed in fear because we lost our job. Or there's pay cuts or whatever. No, God's ready to promote you, baby. That's what's happening. Because it's in here. This is not me. This is not me, Coach McDaniel, trying to give you your pep talk for the day. This is the Word of God. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give you your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." But then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And in this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." And that is the end of the story. That is exactly what happened as you read the rest of the story. You know what happens. And David cuts off his head with Goliath's own sword. How does this happen? This happens from devotion to God. This happens from one man realizing that I'm not going to let fear grip me, and the battle is the Lord's. We try to fight so many battles on our own, and the battle is the Lord's. On November the 16th, the story that Pastor Mike wanted me to share with you guys today that correlates with this is on November the 16th of 2016, 4.5 years ago, my wife had just, we had just flown home from a wedding here in Scottsdale and got home, and there was a FedEx envelope on our front porch. It was now the 20th. But I opened up the envelope and it was dated on the 16th of November. It was a letter from the U.S. government, the Federal Trade Commission of the United States, issuing an investigative demand on me and my wife for running a pyramid scheme, a Ponzi scheme, misleading business practices, deceptive business practices, lying to people, cheating people, and manipulating people, and they were now going to investigate us. And so we call our attorney for the company. We were in a network marketing company. We're the top distributors in that company and had a lot of, God had given us a lot of great success. It was our ministry in the marketplace for many years. And we call our general counsel, and which is the company attorney. Call her and say, "Allison, we just got a letter." She goes, "I know, we got one too." So the company had a letter, and they go, "Who else?" And they, at that time, they didn't know anybody else. But here's what happened. It was dated November 16, 2016. The company got this letter, so they were getting investigated by the government. So now the company had to go get an outside firm to represent them in this investigation. The CEO of the company also wound up getting a letter. He had to, the company got him a firm, a different firm, law firm, to represent him. So he's now in the investigation. The three daughters who own the company, our founder, he was dead. He passed away in 2001. And the girls who had the inheritance, who all they cared about was the money. You know, so they wanted to protect the money. They had to get a firm for themselves. Then me and Diane, they got us a firm, Quarles and Brady, right here out of Phoenix. So we had that firm representing us. And then there was another distributor out of Alabama that got picked, and they had a firm. So there were five different outside firms that came together in a joint defense. This is crucial because here's what happened. From the very beginning, they said, "Danny, we're going to take care of you. Danny, we got it all covered. Danny, it's okay." Who's saying that, God or the attorney? Our general counsel. And she meant it. I mean, she meant every word she said, but at the same time, she was not God. God was God, but we were relying on our general counsel. Danny, we're going to take care of you. Danny, we're just going to get in a joint defense. We're going to handle this thing together. Be careful who you yoke yourself with. Because what happened in that investigation is they start telling you, here's what you can't do. Don't say a word here. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. They give you all the list of things. Keep your mouth shut. This can't go out. This can't be public. All that. That's a lie. That's a lie. What I didn't realize looking back is if the government attacks you like that, the first thing you should do is shout it out to everybody you know. Contact every political contact you have, every leader you have, anybody That's you can right. to unravel the case. But they try to seize you with fear and grip you with fear and say, be quiet or we will crush you. And our company bought that story. Because they were scared they would lose the money. They were scared that the distributors in the company would start panicking. Fear would grip the company. And sales would go down. And they would lose their pot of gold. So they say, Danny, just sit on the bus with us. It's the fear bus. See, they didn't call it the fear bus, but it was the fear bus. And we're all on the bus of joint defense. And so for 2 years, we're on this bus. While the enemy is bullying us, threatening us, accusing us. You do depositions and they rail you. They mock at you. Everything they do to you is exactly what they are accusing you of. They're accusing you of misleading and lying and deceiving and blah, blah, blah. And they're doing it themselves. One of the very first things my wife said when we got investigated was this. She looked at the papers and she said, you know, out of all the people that got picked, I guess if someone was getting investigated, I'm glad it's us. I'm glad it's us. Because they got nothing on us. And so that was one thing that we were excited about, that they had nothing on us. And we're like, we're innocent anyway. So now what do? We hand them all of our tens of thousands of emails. Just like Hillary, but we didn't erase them. You know, because we had tens of thousands of emails. So they needed all. They wanted all of our records from 2012, everything we had of our entire life, hard documents and digital. So all of our texts, all of our conversations, all our emails, and we're like, you got nothing. So here it is. Go through all the tens of thousands of emails, and out of that, you know what they found and what they had? Nothing. No complaints. No lying, no deceiving, not one cuss word, no profanities, no tit for tats, no bad business, no weird interactions, no back and forth with anybody, nothing, nothing, because there was nothing. And we were like, oh, we're innocent, so this is all going to work out. But we're on the fear bus because they're telling us we're going to get you out. This is going to be okay. You're innocent. We know you're innocent. We're innocent. The company's innocent. We're going to move forward. We're going to get through this thing. But because that's what happens. You know, the government, you know, this is just a fact. I mean, it's not about right or wrong. It's about money. I mean, I'm going to fast forward. I met with a former regional director of the FTC later on who was an independent lawyer. He came to my house and looked at the case and said, you're getting screwed. He said, I ran this office for 14 years. This is just a cookie. This is cut and paste. All they did was cut and paste stuff from every document from years past. He goes, let me tell you, you know, the Federal Trade Commission is supposed to be, he goes, here's why I left. It's supposed to be about protecting consumers and doing what's right, but they don't care about right or wrong. It doesn't matter that you're right and they're wrong. They don't care. He goes, there's two goals in that office. One is to win cases. Number two is to make money. That's your job. Win the case, make money. And so that's what it was all about, money. And that's what happens when the government attacks people most of the time. I mean, there are cases of real violations that people do, but many times there's many innocent people that get attacked, and it's because the money pot got big and they became a target. And our company had gotten to like the 800 and something million in sales, so they became a big bullseye. And the government went after the pot of gold. And seize the daughters, seize this company with fear. So what happened immediately is Diane and I, we just started going to trust in God. We started going to even though we were on the fear bus, you know, we're reading the Psalms every day. We're in Psalms 1, Psalms 4, Psalm 7, Psalm 34, Psalm 37, Psalm 58, Psalm 119, Psalm 111. I mean, it's just one psalm after the other. For the next few years, all we're doing is reading the Psalms every day. Multiple Psalms. All day long out there. When you start reading the Psalms out loud and you start declaring the Psalms and multiple Psalms, watch what will happen in your life. Watch what God will show you. Because He'll show you that He is the God that delivers you. He's the God of mercy. We didn't want justice. We wanted mercy. Even though we knew we were innocent, we didn't say, God, give us justice. That's a pretty dangerous prayer you can pray. Because sometimes you don't even know what's in your own heart. Pray for mercy. We were crying out for mercy. But through this 2-year attack, it wasn't an investigation. That's another thing. The government doesn't investigate you. They attack you. They already did their little anonymous troll Google people who write blogs and all that to try to gather a little bit of information. And they base all of their information off lies from people that don't even know you that write anonymous letters and anonymous blogs. I mean, that's crazy. We trust anonymous blogs more than we trust truth. And so here we are in the middle of this sham. And the devil's trying to attack us. The devil's trying to take us down. We're reading the Psalms, trusting God. And then 2 years goes by. And the government finally releases their investigative demands. And in the investigative demands, in January of 2019, they demanded $1.3 billion from the company, but they demanded 15 years of sanctions. And then for me and Diane, they demanded $16.6 million and 15 years of sanctions and a lifetime ban on being involved in network marketing of any kind, any way, in any capacity. And the 15 years of sanctions are 15 years of monitoring, surveillance, and reporting. Every single thing you do in life, every time you change your phone number, your email, your address, you change jobs, do anything, you move, you toot. I mean, it's like everything. So, like if I went to get a job and tried to go to an employer, I had to take them the scarlet letter of the settlement and say, this is what you have to read before you hire me, and sign it, and then I have to send it in to the FTC because I'm a bad guy. So, I mean, it's 15 years of that. Slavery. They're trying to lock you in. They're trying to crush you. They're trying to destroy you. This is what they do month in and month out during those investigations, during that attack. This is the siege that we're facing, the Goliath, every day, every month, every week. And we were on the fear bus. We were unequally yoked with people who were just really trying to protect their money. And because we were also, you know, had a 7-figure income, we were like, oh, that just felt good. Okay, you're going to protect us too. Because really what's funny is what happens in the process is when you have to fight on your own, you finally realize I've got a better defender than them. Great. And we had to learn some hard lessons through that. Because looking back, I wouldn't have went into a joint defense with them. I would have went immediately to politicians and I would have immediately went public. I would have immediately started, you know, declaring it on, you know, everywhere I could that we were getting attacked and here's what we're doing. This is wrong, and unravel it. But that wasn't the case. And so now we're in this joint defense. Now we got here's what they're trying to do to us, the $16.6 million, all the demands and all that. Now it's settlement time. And all these firms, these five firms, all five of them, you know what their goal is? To settle. All their goal is to get you and take you down the path of settlement. Because they make a lot of money and it's over for them. You know, and they get to move on and make more money. They want you to settle. You know why? Because 99% of all people who ever get attacked by the federal government, any bureaucratic organization, they settle 99% of the time. And that's what they kept telling us. You know, here's what the enemy feeds you. 99% of the time, they settle. Everybody settles, Danny. 99% of the time, everybody settles. We just need to settle. Da 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 da. And you hear that. And you know what? If you don't settle, here's what's probably going to happen. If you don't settle and you let them sue you, that what they're going to do when they sue you is as soon as they sue you, they're going to freeze all your bank accounts and credit cards and assets, and then they're going to try to bleed you and squeeze you out where you can't fight them anyway. That's what they do 99% of the time. So probably that's what's going to happen to you. Fear, 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 fear. It's all you hear. When you don't listen to God, you're listening to the wrong counsel. And you're unequally yoked with people who are just trying to save their money. And what happened is, the people that were trying to just save their money actually did it. And they accomplished it. You know how they did it? They pulled out of their joint defense in May of 2019. And we got a call from our attorney and say, the company and the daughters, the two biggest entities, they pulled out of the joint defense. They're going into private negotiations. And they settled. And they settled for $150 million plus. The daughters wanted their name off of the documents. They didn't want their name to go public because all they cared about was the money. And what they did is they decided to bribe the FTC, and they handed over our entire sales compensation plan, our pay structure, to end the multi-level marketing part of our business. And they handed it to them to the FTC. Well, oh, yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, we'll get your names off. And that was that. And so now we're on our own. They drop us. They never communicate with us again. Top distributors for 20 years. never say another word to us. Say, you're on your own. We're not paying for your attorney fees. Done. We're through with you. And now we're on our own. But now it's time that God shows up. Because it was time for us to start fighting at that point. You know, we'd been reading the Psalms and all that, but I wasn't full of faith. We had attorneys that were trying to steer us down the fear trail. And they were good guys. They're really good guys. I like both of them a whole lot. They're really great guys. But they were trying to do what they thought was best. And so we had to let them go. And we hired a bulldog. And he was a Christian, but he was a bulldog. And we hired him, and he said, I can unravel this thing. He goes, do you think we can win? He goes, yeah, I think you can win. I go, because we're going to court with them. Because what happened is, ultimately, just to try to fast forward, we had to go to Washington, D.C. And let me backtrack before that. There's so much that happened. There's so many stories. I didn't even tell you. Let me tell you this real quick so you can see. You know, as soon as we got on our own and got cut off, we start crying out to God, Lord, we need you to give us a confirmation that we're going to fight them and not settle. Because everybody else is settled. Now the FTC got everything they want, but they got one little fish hanging, and we're the gnat now. We're the thorn in the flesh for them because they can't wrap us up, and it's making them mad. But we're thinking we may need to just go ahead and go through with this thing. But this is a big decision because remember, everybody loses. Everybody gets their bank accounts frozen. Everybody, and if you do fight them, they'll fight you all the way to the Supreme Court. So you got to go federal court, district court. You got to go circuit court, regional court, and Supreme Court. So it could be 4 or 5 years of battling them. Nobody wants to do that. So they all settle. So what are we going to do? Lord, you need to give us a sign. Here's what happens. God shows up in our backyard, and he sends two turtle white doves in our backyard. Turtle white doves are not indigenous to Texas. They do not exist unless a magician has them on in his hat, in his little black hat. And so these two turtle white doves for 2 to 3 weeks are feeding in our backyard. Amazing, beautiful, pure white snow doves. And God showed us that his peace was with us. And this is what we were supposed to do. That was amazing. And then I go to Kenya on August the 8th. Shortly after that, I'm on a mission trip. God wakes me up at 3:30 in the morning and says, I got something to tell you. Get your journal. So I grab my journal, turn the light on, and here's what he said, August the 8th, 2019. It is August the 8th. It is a month and day for the new beginnings. It's time for you to arise and fulfill what I've called you to do. You're to fight these people and these wicked schemes to bring you down. Is my arm not too short? Am I not able to come down out of heaven and smite them with blindness? Arise, my son. And then he goes on to say, there is nothing about these negotiations that will work because I am not in the negotiations. I do not negotiate with the devil. The devil wants to negotiate with you. You make them bow. Do not let them make you bow. So here we are. All of a sudden, the tide turns. Now it's just me, and I've got to trust this Bible. I've got to trust what's in here. I've got to trust the Psalms. I've got to trust the story of David. I've got to trust the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've got to trust the story of Jehoshaphat. I've got to trust the story of Joseph. I've got to trust all these stories. No, they're not just good little stories, and they're cool preaching, and it's great to hear, and I get encouraged, and I get motivated. I actually have to live this. Yes. And I have a king that represents me that will do the same thing for me that he did for them, because that's why he put it in here. And we go to the Federal Trade Commission. We have to fly to D.C. and we meet with the 5 commissioners. And it was just sucky all day. And toward the end, here's what I told them. I said, we would settle with you if it was fair. But it looks like we're going to federal court. And if you take us to federal court, we're going to win. We're going to win because we're innocent. And we're going to fight for our honor. And we're going to fight for our integrity. And I go, but even if we don't win, we still win because we have God and you can't take him away from us. And I said, we're going to turn the world upside down for him, and that you cannot have. And that was the end of the story, and we walk out and fly back home, and the battle became the Lord's. And what happened next is we started coming home and doing communion every day, almost every single day. We might have missed 1 or 2 days there, but we were having communion almost every day. Let's see that picture. And there were the court documents. There was the lawsuit, there was the case for dismissal, and then a response for the case for dismissal. 3 major documents, and we started having communion, me and my wife. pleading the blood of Jesus over our case, reading the Psalms, singing, we're going to see a victory, singing, we're surrounded, but this is how we fought our battles, singing about the waymaker, the promise keeper, the miracle worker, the one that was working when we didn't see him working, the one that was doing it when we didn't feel him doing it. And we poured the blood, after we had communion, we poured the blood of Jesus on those documents and declare our victory, that it was the blood of Jesus Christ that caused us to be set free. And then we'd read Psalms like this. Psalm 58. God's justice. Psalm 58. God's justice. You high and mighty politicians know nothing about it. Which one of you has walked in justice toward others? Which one of you has treated everyone right and fair? Not one. You only give justice in exchange for a bribe. For the right price, you let others get away with murder. Wicked wanderers, even from the womb. That's who you are. You lie with your words and your teaching is poison. Like cobras closing their ears to the most expert of the charmers, you strike out against all who are near. Oh God, break their fangs. Shatter the teeth of these ravenous lions. Let them disappear like water falling on thirsty ground. Let all their weapons be useless. Let them be like snails dissolving into the slime. Let them be cut off, never seeing the light of day. God will sweep them away so fast that they'll never know what hit them. The godly will celebrate in his triumph of good over evil. And the lovers of God will trample the wickedness of the wicked under their feet. We stomped on those things. We put those things on the ground and said, in Jesus' name, we stomp on you. We're going to see a victory with God. And you may think that's a little crazy, but you know what? When someone's trying to sue you for $16.6 million and crush you and put almost like a collar around your ankle when you're completely innocent, that doesn't feel too good. And you better find someone you can trust to fight, and there's only one you can trust, and his name is God Almighty. But check this out. The end says, then everyone will say, there is a God who judges the judges, and there is a great reward in loving God. God is the judge. He judges the judges, and our prayers will continually, God, you are the judge of judges. We pray for Fragile Sean Jordan of the Eastern District Court of the state of Texas, and we know, Lord, that you've already laid your gavel down in heaven on our case, and we're innocent, and we pray that you're going to take Sean Jordan's hand, and he's going to lay his gavel down too, because you've already set it in heaven, and thank you for doing it, God. We saw it ahead of time. We saw the victory ahead of time. We declared the victory ahead of time. We refused to be gripped by fear. It was at that point where we said, no more fear. We started having communion every day, and fear dissipated out of our life. Fear fled out of our life. No more fear, no more anxiety. And we got into a worshiping mode in the next year, the year and a half, and crying out to Jesus, saying, Jesus, you're all we need. We got to the point when you get rid of fear out of your life and drive it out of your life, you'll get to the point where you say, Jesus, you're all I need. Yeah. Jesus, I don't need money. I don't need a car. I don't need houses. I don't need any stuff. I just need you and our family. If we have you, Jesus, in a backpack, we're fine. We're fine. We're completely fine with that, Jesus. But we got to have you. You're all we need. We thank you for your mercy and grace on our life. You're all we need, Jesus. That's it. That's it. It's all we need. It's Jesus. And when you get to that point, none of these other things matter. That little court case doesn't matter. That little thing with your boss doesn't matter. That little thing with your wife doesn't matter. That little thing, fight over custody with kids, doesn't matter, because God will fight for you if you start letting him and focus your, get your battle focused. Get everything lined up with what the Word of God says about how we fight our battles. We sing about it every day. We read about it every day. But do you make it apply to your life every day? Yeah. You got to start applying this and say, fear no. It's not going to happen. Well, here's what happens. There's so much more that happened. There's so many stories of confirmations, so many prophetic words. We warred with every prophetic word, just like Paul, I think, instructed Timothy to war with his prophecies. Yes. We take those prophetic words from prophets and from prophetic people and say, God, here's what you said, high winds, low damage. You said that we'd have a soft landing. You said that you were turning the tables. You said that the case was going to be dismissed through Elizabeth Gauthier when she prayed and when she interceded for us at church. Lord, here's what you said, and we're standing on it, God. And what happened a year later, on November the 16th of 2020, 4 years to the date, is God not unbelievable? Yes. 4 years to the date, we get an email from our attorney, it says the federal judge signed off today and dismissed your case. Woo! Yeah. Jesus. Jesus. When God wants to make a statement, When God wants to make a statement to the devil, he'll say, I'll make it so intricate that I'll have the judge do it on the same day they did it to you. Amen. November the 16th. Amen. And so basically, we went through another 4-month case, you know, appeals and chances to appeal, because we were told that 99% of the time, they will not let it rest. They will appeal. They're always going to appeal. So they have 30 days to appeal. They actually got 60 days to appeal because they were federal. So they had 60 days to appeal. Guess what? No appeal. God. We were told they always, not 99%, they always take you to federal court. I mean, they always take you to the Supreme Court. Done. God. Every single hot statistic, God defied. Everything the enemy lies to you about, God will defy. But we got to quit buying the enemy's lies. And we got to know that God is God. God is the God of judges. God is the God who judges your situation. God is the God of mercy. God is the one who will deliver you from fear. God destroys all fear. But here's where we're at. You know, we are free. We are completely free. But it's by the grace of God and by the mercy of God. But here's what you've got to get. Because this is about this impartation coming to you. An impart, not a good message, not a feel-good thing, not like, oh yeah, that's great for you. That's a great story, man. Oh, wow. No. Man, I'm glad that didn't happen to me. No, this is, something's going to happen to you in your life. You're going to face trials. You're going to face tribulation. You're going to face situations and circumstances, because that's just the world we live in. We live in a fallen world. You are going to embark on perilous times in your life at some point. And there's got to be a point in time where it's in you already, where you go, what? Here's what I know. I have to trust God. Yes. And fear, you got no place in my life. Yes. It is time for you to get a revelation that fear is not going to grip me anymore. Fear is not going to grip my life. It's not going to grip my family. I'm not going to let it grip my kids. I'm going to help my kids get rid of fear, because we're going to drive fear out, because fear is the door opener for every other foul thing that starts creating vicious cycles of defeat in your life in many, many, many areas. So it's about fear today. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you. Be strong and of good courage. The most quoted scripture in the entire Bible is, do not fear or be dismayed, for I am with you, says the Lord. That's the most quoted. I mean, God says that more in the Bible than any other thing, as far as a phrase. Do not fear or be dismayed. You think he means something there? Yes. So I'm telling you, church, today, do not fear or do not be dismayed, for the Lord is with you. But get it in you. Get it in you. Some of you today are still gripped with fear. I know that just from the law of averages. That's, you know, not that I'm trying to be a prophet, but the law of averages says some of you are still gripped with fear. Today's your day that you eliminate it. Say, you know, I'm done. I haven't been clear. I've been wrapped in confusion. I haven't seen this situation the right way. And I'm going to get in this word, and I'm going to say, God, you're going to deliver me like David. You're going to deliver me like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who got thrown in the fiery furnace because they said, I will not bow, O king. O king Nebuchadnezzar, I will not bow to you and your gods. And our God has the ability to deliver us from this fire. But even if he doesn't, we will still not bow. We will serve our God. Yes. That's where you got to get. Because when you're at that point, all you need is Jesus. All I need is Jesus. Yes. That's all I need is Jesus. All I need is Jesus. I'm to that point in life. For the rest of my life, I know this. All I need is Jesus. And I'm not going to let that little spirit whip me for the rest of my life. Amen. Do not let that little spirit whip you. It's just a spirit. It's all it is. It's words coming from a spirit, a foul spirit that's a liar that cannot trump this. It cannot trump this. So you're going to have an opportunity right here in just a moment. You're going to have an opportunity to come up to the altar for prayer. The prayer team is going to be up here in a minute. And I'm going to hand it over to Brother Cruz right now, and he's going to take care of you. But you're going to have an opportunity. Now's the time. Today's the day. Make sure that fear ends today, and this is a church with no fear. This should be a no-fear church. Come on. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Oh, I got to do this. VICTORY. That's the Bethel battle cry. You ever hear that one? VICTORY. That's a Bethel battle cry. VICTORY. That's a Bethel battle cry. Yeah, baby. See, you know this. You know. I'm gonna see a victory. We're going to see a victory. No, we're not just cheerleaders in a gym. This ain't the high school football team. We get to see the victory. Yes. We get to say V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. That's our battle cry.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.